97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. It is fourth quarter time. Get those four fingers up. Fourth quarter belongs to us. I'm Joe Stasiak. I'm here till 4 o'clock today. You know, Miami started that, the four fingers for the fourth quarter, and then everyone picked up on it. They're playing a game today against Florida State. It used to be the most talked about game, like, of the year. There were always epic battles in the heat of the Florida sun, always at noon, whether it was at Doak Campbell or the Orange Bowl. So much speed on the field, so many future Hall of Famers, future NFL players. Defensive battles always came down to like a last kick. And fortunately, you know, there was a lot of wide rights, three wide rights, one wide left. If you know what I'm talking about, and special teams touchdowns and lots of turnovers, and the games kind of were messy at times, but I think it was more that there was so much speed on the field. And it caused a lot of those situations, but it was always fun to watch, and it was huge for title implications. This game won't make probably the third block of ESPN SportsCenter tonight. It's unbelievable. It'll be the fifth win for either one of the teams. It'll be the fifth loss for one of the teams. It's so irrelevant. It's just amazing. Amazing how that program has taken a dip since 2004. Oh, my Miami Hurricanes. Well, maybe some year before I die, they'll be back. 610-632-0975. Let's go to David in Burlington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on? How are you
today? How you doing, Pud?
I'm all right. Regarding the fornication under consent of the king, I tell that to my students I teach in high school. But I learned that it was the commoner had to go to the king in order to get a divorce. I've heard that. But here's what I wanted to say to you. I would never tell another man or woman that their perspective is wrong, but I just feel that your narrative, based on your perspective, that's why I feel that you're wrong. Because in essence, yeah, he may have gone a little overboard, but remember, he's a millennial. They all run to Twitter. They all curse. They all use similar language.
But it doesn't mean it's okay. It doesn't mean it's okay.
But it's not okay to you. But what I'm saying is that if you were a national media, I wouldn't even call in because I'd be like, okay, you're not in Philadelphia. You don't know. But my issue is with all due respect, with gentlemen like yourself.
No, it's fine.
That the verbiage you use, such as lame, you're an embarrassment to the city, I'm like, come on.
Not to the city, like, to the team.
To the team. And I disagree with that narrative because what are you attempting to do? Get a bunch of Philadelphians, a small portion of them, to suddenly start booing Joel Embiid? I think
of
that the language can be used to make the same point but different. Joel Embiid was just a case of someone that may have started going in the wrong direction in an attempt to do the right thing. In his mind, he felt he was representing Philly hard. Did he go overboard? Yes, I would say he went overboard. But I believe that being from Philadelphia, this is our superstar. He's not a bad dude.
Oh, he's not. I'm sure he's not.
Right. So to use language so harsh in a situation like this, that's where I would look at you face to face and go, I think you're wrong. Your perspective, you're right. You have every right to feel that the fight was, this was all. But I think the language is someone in your position where you can influence the average listener. That's where I think that you're wrong. That's my only issue. You're from Philadelphia. This is our guy. You know what his intent was. Yes, it went a little overboard, but I don't think that someone in your powerful position should use the harsh language that throws such a negative connotation on our guy.
Well, what? Saying, you know, embarrassment or lame? Lame, I was repeating a tweet. Someone tweeted me.
But it encourages that. So when you start saying, like, an embarrassment is if it's the malice in the palace. That was a hug party.
I'm just telling you, this was my opinion. I'm not saying it's fact. I was embarrassed by it, to be honest.
Right, and I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong, but in your position, you have an influence over millions of listeners in this area, and I feel like he's our guy. So it's like, can we take the pull the negativity off of it. You have every right to feel that way. You're not wrong. I think on a personal level, I'm thinking, like, oh, you're being a, you know, a bit of a, oh, I'm 47. I'm like, you're kind of being a grumpy old man about it all. But I just kind of feel like the language and the verbiage that's being used can be toned down. And I think, like, someone like Stephen A. Smith, who I never agree with, he actually said it best. If so, someone go listen to him, I'm like, that's what Philly commentators should be saying.
Wait, what did he say?
He simply said that his issue is that Joel now has put himself in the ire of potentially of the referees with the off the court antics, with going to social media and with what happened. And it may come back to bite him at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I agree. David, I got to run, buddy. I got to take another call and I'm up against it. I appreciate your perspective. No, I see. I respect that. Disagrees with me, thinks I'm using my language is too harsh, or my assessment, my adjectives, I should say. I'm just telling you, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for him. I'm kind of embarrassed because he is my guy. And it was really the aftermath. The skirmish didn't really bother me. And getting suspended two games because of the aftermath that bothered me. Again, I'm not trying to influence people. I'm just giving my opinion. And he said, that's fine, but you are in a position of influence. Fine, I agree with that. But I didn't think embarrassing or lame. Lame, I was repeating a tweet. Someone tweeted me. But I was embarrassed. I don't think that's that bad. I didn't call him any names. Or anything incendiary about him, about his character or whatever. I think he's, by all accounts, a good guy. Very good guy. And I don't doubt that at all. I actually have never met him, but I'm sure he is. I'm just saying that I wish he would have cleaned it up. Did he go over the top? David even agreed with me. Yeah, he went over the top. Just because everyone's running to Twitter and cursing on Twitter, it doesn't make it right. I could do without it. I thought it was funny that Orlando Scandrick, amidst all the things he said last week about the Eagles, is after practice, everyone runs to their Twitter account. I'm sure it's not just germane to Philadelphia. I'm sure it does happen. I've been in locker rooms before. Everyone's on their phone. Everyone's on their phone. Who are you guys talking to? You just had practice. Who are you talking to that's that urgent that before you take your shoulder pads off, you're on the phone? You're either talking to someone or you're on Twitter. I know it's the millennials. I get all that. I get all that, but I just don't get it. I just don't get why everyone cares so much about, I guess, the perception, or you have to get your opinion out there. I mean, it's a cool setup. It's like your own personal press conference. But I just think it's can be unnecessary and could actually hurt your image more than it helps your image. All right. As promised, on the Comcast Business Hotline right now, he is the great Stephen Callis. What's up, Stephen? How you doing, my friend? Steve, you there, bro? I got him. Steve, you there, bro?
I am. Oh, okay. Well, great to be with you as always.
You too, pal. Appreciate you coming on today. I know we did our podcast today. You can find it on my Facebook page for the shameless plug there. Hey, brother, the Eagles have a big game tomorrow. I do consider it almost a must win. They can't go into the New England game at 4-5. If they could go in 5-4 and then come out 5-5, I still think they'd be okay. But if they go in 4-5, doesn't look good, because New England is a team that could potentially run the table this year. Are you back on board with the Eagles? Like, how would you assess this team after they got blown out by the Vikings and the Cowboys? They come back and play strong in Buffalo. What are your thoughts on this team at this point?
Well, I'm a little worried. I'm holding on the side. I'm just holding on, you know. I was about to get off. I'm holding on, but I have to say, they got a tough string of games coming up. Now, maybe they're converting, dare I say it, to a running team. They watched some Patriots tape from the end of last year when Belichick changed the game. And now, poof, suddenly they're a running team. That could be the answer for them. You know, I'm not saying Carson Wentz is a game manager and he's going to have to play better, even though he's playing well. But my goodness, if they can establish the run like they did, and you know, Buffalo has a good defense. I was surprised they handled them so easily, frankly. But they looked to me more like a running team and putting some points on the board than they were previously. And that, frankly, may be the difference. I know you're going to tell me if they get behind, the Andy Reid and Doug Peterson is going to come out. I get that. But I think if they can run it like they run it, this might change their season, because up till then it looked pretty bad.
But do you think they can run on the Bears? They are sixth in the league against the run.
Yeah, no, that's tough, and maybe then you can go play action and Carson Wentz can be Carson Wentz, but it's the wrong defense. But as you know, the Eagles are playing the right offense, because Trubisky has been a disaster. I don't know how people can say, oh, he just needs more time, he just needs more time. He's, you know, he's in his third year now, and it's halfway through his third year. So I haven't quite seen it. Maybe other people see it, but they're terrible on offense. And, you know, at some point the defense and the offense are going to kind of part ways, I think, because the defense is so good, but the offense is so bad. So I'm looking at an under game here, frankly, because I think it's going to be low scoring. But I think the Eagles have more weapons to work with, running and throwing it, than the Bears do. But the Bears, as you said, do have a very good defense.
You mentioned Carson being Carson. You said that. What exactly does that mean, Carson being Carson? Because I said earlier in the program, they need to let Carson be Carson and do his thing. I'm just wondering if you're on the same page as me, because I think they harness him a little too much.
I'm totally on the same page, but I'm talking, of course, about MVP Carson, which
right.
he would have been if he could have stayed healthy that one year.
Yeah.
But, he's got to be. They got to cut him loose. You got to do something. You know, the season is on the line, and with the Patriots the week after, I don't know. You know, a lot of people think the Ravens are going to beat the Patriots. I certainly don't. But, you know, I watch all those games because of my son, who told me that defense would be great before the season started, and he couldn't be more right. So I don't know if it's a must-win, but if you're talking about a playoff team and a deep run, I think it just about is a must-win against the Bears.
Yeah, I agree with you, my friend. Now, Eagles had a team meeting after the anonymous quote came out, and then, of course, if you can tie it to last year's that article from Joe Santaliquido of The Voice back in January, then Orlando Scandrick comes out and with a scathing review of the inside the locker room and Malcolm Jenkins and whatnot. They have a team meeting, all right? Now, a lot of teams do when things are in disarray. I don't necessarily think it really turns a program around, but they seem to have responded. They responded to something. Do you think it has anything to do with that team meeting?
Well, I think it might. I mean, look, sometimes desperate mm-hmm. times, desperate measures, and I think certainly that's where they were before the last game. I certainly thought they were in trouble up in Buffalo, but they played incredibly well, and if they can keep that, you know, this is now going to be circle the wagons, it's us against the world, nobody believes in us, it's kind of a 2 year ago thing, except, you know, Nick Foles isn't coming, but I think it's something, no, I'm not even trying to be funny, I think that kind of stuff, you know, works,
right?
And we'll just have to see what happens, but I think it was helpful, and we'll see if it can continue. But again, the Bears, the Patriots, they have a tough schedule coming up, and they need to win some games, and I won't put the Patriots definitely in the loss column, but just about definitely, I would say.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, brother. And you're speaking of the Patriots, they had released Josh Gordon, put him on waivers. The Eagles passed on him. They have a worse record than Seattle, so they definitely, by definition, passed on him. Seattle picks him up. Would you have made a play for Josh Gordon if you're the Eagles? Because they've had some problems with their receiving core without DeSean Jackson. And they had Marcus Hayes on at around 10 after 1 today. And he said, where do you put him? Because Alshon Jeffrey isn't happy when he doesn't catch, you know, 15 balls per game. And he's probably an anonymous source. And you're paying him $13 million a year. You don't put him in the slot. He can replace DeSean. But if DeSean comes back, then what do you do with him? Not play him. He's got all the talent in the world. Would you have done anything with Josh Gordon?
Yeah, I would have tried to get him. You know, whatever you think of him, the talent is still sky high, and DeSean isn't back, so you could, you know, deal with that problem if and when it happened. But I certainly would have brought him in. He's a tremendous talent, and just because things didn't quite work out, and he was good, not great with the Patriots going back to last year, but he's another guy to throw into the mix. And again, without DeSean, I think they should have taken a shot with him, and they should have, you know, just put him on the field and see what happens. You know, you can't worry about everybody's feelings, because you got to win football games now, and it's not like you're 6-2 worried about it. So I would have just taken them and put them on the field.
No, I tend to agree with you there, bro. And again, the Eagles are 4-4, may have turned their season around with a game against Buffalo. But their receiving core has been dreadful. It looks like DeSean Jackson may play on Sunday. We shall see, although he's not going to be 100%. He said that, and his coach said that as well. How do you game plan for a guy like Khalil Mack, who is just a wrecking ball? And they play that 3-4, so he's an outside linebacker, and he's going to create problems, especially if he comes from the left side where Andre Dillard is and Isaac Seumalo, who's not, you know, the best guard in the league, and a rookie over there on the left side. How do you game plan to keep him away from Carson Wentz?
You know how you put him on, you put the back on the other side. You know, I understand the Eagles scheme is usually the backs to the right, but you put him to the left, or you put a tight end there, or both. Or you have a scheme where both of those guys, the left guard and the left tackle, double him. That's a little harder, but I think you go tight end left side and you put your back to Carson Wentz's left. You need a guy almost every play. At a minimum, if the back is going out, you know, he can chip him or the tight end can block him and then go out. I think it's doable. I think it's hard, obviously. He's still one of, if not the best defensive player in the game. So I think you got to do that. But I don't think that's impossible, Joe. Again, I don't know why. I'm not saying it's easy, but there should be ways to do it with those two guys, the tight end or the running back, to Carson Wentz's left, not to his right.
Yeah, he's something else. They have to keep their eye on him. Let me ask you something else, Steve. You had a pretty good week with your picks last week. What do you got this week for us?
I got, I was 3-1 last week, but I'll just get to this week's picks right now. I got Minnesota -2 at Kansas City, Seattle at home -5 over Tampa. I like the way Cleveland played last week. I know everybody was mocking them for those three turnovers, but I got Cleveland -4 at Denver, and of course the Patriots -3 at Baltimore.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that, folks. He's hot, 3-1, coming off a 3-1 week. I'll give my picks in the last segment of the day. Go ahead.
Joe, could I just mention those articles I have up at Westchester County Post?
Oh, yes, please do.
Yeah, I put two of them up there. I know you're going to put the Shoeless Joe one on your Facebook page, but there's one on Game 7 of the World Series. There's one on Shoeless Joe Jackson. It's 100 years since Shoeless Joe Jackson did not fix the 1919 World Series, and yet 100 years later, the guy still isn't in the Hall of Fame. So I'd ask all your listeners to go to westchestercountypost.com, click on Sports Spotlight, and you'll see two articles, one on Game 7 of the World Series, where Juan Soto should have been the MVP, not a pitcher who won 2 games out of 4, and also a long article on Shoeless Joe Jackson that looks at all the stuff that's happened over almost the last 100 years with respect to him. He really should be in there.
Can't believe it's been 100 years, and Steve is the sports editor at westchestercountypost.com, so check out those stories. I'll post them on my Facebook page as soon as the show is over. Let's talk basketball real quick, Steve, before we get out of here. Joel Embiid, I've been harping on him all day, not happy about his actions the other night, not even so much the skirmish, but kind of the aftermath, which is what Kiki Vandeweghe, the disciplinarian for the NBA, said. Basically, the 2-game suspension was because of the aftermath, the Twitter comments, the comments in the press conference, dropping the P word, dropping the F bomb, dropping the S word. What'd you think of Joel Embiid and that situation?
I think he's got to keep his cool. I think he's hurting his team. You know, he's talking about, I get in everybody's head and this and that, but you got to stay on the court. I don't know why you do these things. Maybe you'll tell me it's the millennial thing, Joe. I don't know. But he's not a good player. He's a great player. And they need him on the floor all the time. And if you want to bang around with each other when they were showing, you know, you saw the game. I mean, that was like old school center play. We don't see that anymore. If you want to do that, then just keep pounding him like he was pounding towns down low. Just keep doing that. The notion that you got to do anything. Headlock. Look, these guys can't fight. These guys were all 6'8" when they were 14. Who's fighting them? The basketball fights are the funniest ones. They're not hockey fights, you know.
Right.
The basketball ones are the funniest ones because nobody ever messed with these guys as a result. They have no idea how to fight. It's laugh out loud funny to me. So don't tell me these guys can stand in the ring. There's a few exceptions, but it didn't look to me like Towns and Embiid are two of the exceptions. They're not. So he cost himself a game. He hurt the team. I get all the social media stuff that he wants to do, but he should really tone it down, because that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
If it's not already a problem.
Yeah, it might already be a problem, which is unfortunate. He will not play in the game in Portland tonight or the game in Phoenix. Following that, we'll see if that hurts him down the road at all. Before we go, bro, I know you're going out to the Power Memorial reunion dinner tonight with your lovely lady friend, Janelle. Now, you are a Hall of Famer at the Power Memorial High School, and you are in the same class as, maybe not the same class, but in the same category as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Len Elmore, Joey Mullen, who has over 500 NHL goals, Brendan Malone. I mean, do you get to, like, the Heisman winners? Do you get to vote on Hall of Famers? Or and you did it for baseball. You're also second in your class. You know, what's tonight going to be like? Is, you know, any chance Kareem shows up?
Well, a few things. I don't think Kareem's showing up, but some of these other guys do show up. I know Brendan Malone will be there. He was my coach. He was also the baseball coach and a great coach at baseball as well as basketball. And you know, 30 years in the NBA, first coach of the Raptors, was credited by Chuck Daly with stopping Michael Jordan during the Bad Boy Pistons. Just a couple of things. Janelle is my boss and coming out with me to kind of cover the event. We're friends and colleagues, but she's going to be out there. She's working. She really wants to help kids, and she's going to work through Power and All Hallows to set up some programs for those kids. But the other guys, you know who's in there. Joe Mullen scored 500 goals in the NHL. He's in the Power Memorial Hall of Fame. Lenny Elmore, who still does games on ESPN, I think, or CBS. You know, Power has a long history of top sports and some good academics and, frankly, a lot of firemen and police heroes, some of whom are in, more of whom will be in eventually. But, yeah, it's every year, the first Saturday in November. I always look forward to it, and it was great that I actually got in 2 years ago with Brendan Malone, who was my coach, and he gave a fantastic speech, and I gave a pretty good speech, I think. But, yeah, it's a very cool thing every year. And they're trying to keep the you know, the memory of Power alive. Unfortunately, it closed in the 80s. But there's still a lot of guys. Mario Ellie, another guy who went to Power, who's in the Hall of Fame. Chris Mullen even went to Power for 2 years. How about that?
Wow.
So, yeah, it's mostly basketball players. But we got some baseball players now, some track guys. It's a pretty big event. There'll be like 200 people there out there in Douglaston, Queens. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Wow, Kareem, Lenny Elmore, Joey Bowen. What are you hanging out with me for? You're hanging out with a pretty high-end group of folks over there.
I think that was when they were asking me for my resume. You know, my catcher nominated me, and they said, you know, you got to prove all the stuff that you did. So I said, yeah, I go on with Joe Stazak and Phil and do a podcast. And if you need 50 of them, I got them online. I thought that was what put me over the top with those guys.
Great stuff. Great answer, my friend. Hey, great stuff. Great talking to you. Great job with the podcast today. Again, you can check it out on our Facebook, my Facebook page. You can also follow me on Twitter at JoeStazak975, like I said. Steve Callis, you are off the Joe Stazak hot seat. Appreciate it, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, John.
You too, Steve. Steve Callis, Comcast Business Hotline, radio talk show host. He's a brilliant writer, second in his class in Baseball Hall of Fame, and he hangs out with me. I didn't even know he was that smart, although he comes off as that smart. I'm afraid to open my mouth around him now. 610-632-0975. Got to take another break. Mitch, hang in there. Mike, hang in there. A couple open phone lines right now if you want to chime in on the Eagles and Bears tomorrow. I'll have my picks coming up. And I also did want to get back to the Howie Roseman and the drafting situation and why he didn't make any moves this past week. I'm Joe Stazak, 97.5, The Fanatic. I'll come right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Seven, five, The Fanatic.
We're back, 3:31 here at 97.5, The Fanatic. Hey, don't forget, you can win the Ultimate Birds Fan Experience. Two tickets to the Monday night game, December 9th. Field passes and a VIP tour of the ESPN broadcast truck. Eagle safety Roddy McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for American Association for Cancer Research, the first and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Go to 975thefanatic.com/donate and make a donation to Roddy McLeod's Race to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for this Ultimate Birds Fan Experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you could win exclusively from Eagles safety Roddy McLeod, the AARC, and 975thefanatic.com. All right. I'm going to take a few more calls. I wanted to get into the drafting issues and the rebuilding issues of this team, because they're going to have to rebuild this team pretty soon. Got to say pretty soon. They're getting old, and the drafting hasn't really been there since 2013 when they drafted Lane Johnson and Zach Ertz 1-2. They've been putting it together and holding it together by free agents and trades. Dallas has not. Dallas is doing it the right way. And I want to just go over those two situations, because those are the only teams that have any relevance in the NFC East. Get to that in a little bit, but want to get back out to the phone lines right now. Mike in Washington Township, you're on 97.5. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good. A few of your calls have already stolen my thunder. I disagreed with you in the sense that how you felt about Joel Embiid. Social media is a phenomenal with these young folks. Now, let me just preface it by saying I don't agree with what he did, but I think what I disagree with when you try to compare him to other players like Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. I mean, they all have their dirt that they're going on. It's just that they didn't use profanity on, and as Joel Embiid did. But I think that's something that the NBA has to really clean up with these players, because social media is something that these players reach out to after games to call out each other. And that's something I really think the NBA needs to address. I don't know if they can, because it's freedom of speech. But it's an issue right now. And, you know, like I said, you know, say he's an embarrassment. Well, I think that's a little harsh, overboard. I understand you're embarrassed about his behavior. But, again, it's how the fans perceive what you say. And like I said, I think Joe needs to clean his behavior up. But at the end of the day, he's a big guy. If you go back to all the big guys in the NBA, Pat Ewing, Shaq, it's physical down there, and they've called each other out all the time. So, I mean, I think that's something that, you know, needs to be addressed, but I just think you're being a little harsh on them right now, personally.
Okay, no, that's fair. I'm just calling it like I see it. I didn't say he was an embarrassment. I said it was an embarrassment. But, yes, I mean, it's the player performing an act that embarrassed. Truthfully, I was embarrassed as a fan. I'm sure it embarrassed the organization. And I don't know what other word to use. I just think it was embarrassing. Sure. I really don't.
And look, John, I agree. Look, I'm an old dude like you, man, and I wouldn't want my players to act like that. But at the end of the day, and it's something I've, because I coach, and you have to adjust to it with these kids, and it's hard. But let me just say this before I go off. I think one thing the NBA is going to have to me, are they going to allow the Sixers to play this bully ball? Because you're taking it back to an era of the New York Knicks, Miami Heat, when it's physical down low. The NBA tried to get away from that because it was destroying their image, and they came to this more kind of fluid type of game with three-point shooting. But now Elton Brand has brought the NBA back to an era where, hey, we're going to put it in your face and we're going to pound it down low. Is that really where the NBA wants to go right now? Because that's how the Sixers are going to play right now, and that's how they got to win.
I know. I don't think it's where the NBA wants to go. They want to go back to thump and bump those days. You're right, it's a three-point shooting league at this point. The big guys are kind of passe anymore, but the Sixers have one. He's dominant, and I just wish he would concentrate on playing ball, stay off the social media, which he said he was going to do. I had a reaction to the situation the other night, went back on it a little bit, and it ended up costing him. And that's how the league is going to try to clean it up. If you, I guess, I don't know what else the word to use. If you embarrass the league, which I'm sure the league was embarrassed by it, by the aftermath, not the skirmish. Skirmishes happen all the time. Then that's their way of cleaning it up. You got a 2-game suspension, unfortunately. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. You're on 97.5. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, Joe?
How are you, man?
Very good. Got a nice week of good weekend games in college and pros.
Oh, yeah.
First, I thought, I think Jordan Howard's have a good game against his old team. They make no sense. They drafted a similar running back, and they traded him. So, go figure. I'm not giving up on Mitch Trubisky, but tomorrow he's not going to turn around so quick. They have to give him weapons. But Jordan Howard's going to have a big game, and somebody wake up Nelson Aguilar, you know, please, before that contract ends.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Also, with today's ball, what do you think the chances of Oregon, if they run the table? I know it's very hard for the Pac-12. I think it's a good conference. They just kind of knock each other out. LSU, this guy, is this another quarterback you're going to see on Sunday besides Justin Herbert? Barrow, his name, LSU? Love to see him knock off Alabama. I know they have a bye, but if they can knock out Alabama, you got to admit, I can see why Pac-12 has no chance. I mean, Clemson, Alabama, LSU, Georgia. You have to get Ohio State has to be in there too. They have incredible talent too. So, I mean, that was great when Oklahoma lost to Kansas State of all teams.
Yeah, what's Oklahoma doing, Mitch? I got to run, buddy. I appreciate it. I don't know if LSU's beating Alabama. Certainly possible. Barlow's a good quarterback. I don't know what's happened to Oklahoma this year. Lincoln Riley? Yeah, Lincoln Riley has done a great job with, he did a great job with Kyler Murray, did a great job with Jalen Hurts, turning him into a Heisman candidate, Baker Mayfield, but he's having some trouble this year, although I think he might be the heir apparent to Jason Garrett with the Cowboys if Jason Garrett gets let go. Jerry Jones is not averse to hiring college coaches. The last college coach he hired won 2 Super Bowls, and the next college coach he hired won 1 with him, for his team. 3 out of 4 years, that's Barry Switzer, Jimmy Johnson before him. Look for Lincoln Riley if something happens to Jason Garrett to be the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Jim in Washington Township, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
What's up, Joe? Great show as always.
Thanks, pal. How you doing?
All right. I called to talk about the Birds, and I got a question on the Eagles, but do you remember the term from back in the day, telephone tough guy? That's the problem that I had with, just like you, the aftermath of the Embiid thing. That's my son, 11, and he gets into arguments on social media or PlayStation Plus and all that. And that's what I tell him. We used to call them telephone tough guys. People talk tough behind the telephone. Now they talk tough behind a screen. It's just weak.
What they're called? They're called Twitter gangsters.
Yeah, I'm not hip to the social media terms and all that, but telephone tough guys. That's what we used to call them back in the day.
Yeah, no, I get you, man. Everybody's doing it on Twitter and acting all tough and whatever. And
then they're cool when you see them face to face. Like, yeah. It's weak, man. It's weak. All right, my point on the Birds is, you know what? These next 2 conference games, you know, Seattle and Chicago, they're both playoff games as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
I feel like most people, I do think that they take 2 out of 3 because, you know, they're kind of, you know, starting to hit on cylinders, I guess. But I do think that New England's due for a letdown. I just don't think that they match up well against Seattle. Now, I'm not looking past this game, but like I said, I hope they take 2 out of 3. I think the Seattle game is probably going to be the toughest game because they never matched up well.
They never match up well with Seattle, at least not in the Russell Wilson era. No, I agree with you.
Before you let me go, let me ask you a point on the Phillies.
Sure.
With the excitement that we had at the beginning of last offseason, now I know it drug out and everybody was miserable with how long the Harper thing. Do you think that this offseason there's just as much, if not more, excitement due to the free agency and all the moves that we hope that they're going to make?
Not right now. I'd have to see the moves, and I think that we'd have to see the moves to kind of compare the two, because the hype last year was because of the Gene Segura move and the JT Realmuto move and the Bryce Harper move. So we knew what we were getting offensively and thought we could get it done just our offense. So I think it's going to be a wait and see thing to compare it to last year. I think there, it has started. The excitement has started because of the Joe Girardi hire. But I think we'd have to see what else they do this offseason to compare to last year.
Don't you think that they need just as good, if not better, or the same amount of moves as last year to make this team relevant?
Yeah, Jimmy, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm up against a break. They have to make a lot of moves, I think. I don't think they're one or two players away, like Jim said. They're you know, a couple pitchers away and a couple everyday players away. We'll see if Andrew McCutchen comes back from his knee injury, but they have some issues, and they have to take care of some of their issues, and they'll do it in free agency because they can't draft that well. And when they do draft, they're drafting 17-year-olds, so it takes them a while to work through the system. But they have some work to do this offseason. It's not just one or two moves. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazak. One more segment coming up on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. 347 now, 348 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. We're closing it out today, Rob Motti. Is it Rob Motti or D-Lineup coming up next? One of the two coming up next. Maybe both? Are they both on next? Josh Raybeck checking it right now. Still checking. Both. Yeah, both are on. All right, dynamic duo of D-Lineham and Rob Motti coming on next. Good stuff. All right, let's get some things out of the way. My pick for tomorrow, Eagles 24, Bears 13. I don't think the Bears can put up a lot of points against this team, not because of the defense, but because of Mitch Trubisky. Don't like him a little bit. And so I think the Eagles, and I think Carson Wentz has a big day. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. But I think Carson Wentz, it's time to let Carson be Carson. And I think with DeSean Jackson back in the mix, it will help, even if he's not 100%. So I like the Birds 24-13. My picks, let me get my picks in before I get to my last point. I have the Eagles tomorrow, minus the 4.5. Yeah, again, I jumped on them last week. I said this would be my last week because they burned me too many times this year, and they got trounced in the two previous weeks. But I like them tomorrow. I like them. I predicted them to win by 11, so that should cover the 4.5. I like the Patriots over the Ravens. Anytime the Patriots get a field goal or less or are a dog, which is like never, I like them. And they are the team I bet every week because at the end of the year, yeah, and just bet them every week. Don't worry about it. At the end of the year, they'll be like 12-4, 11-5. Bill Belichick is 21-0 against first or second year quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson being a second year quarterback. I just like the way the Patriots defense is playing. I don't care where the game is. I know it's in Baltimore, but I like the Pats tomorrow, -3. All right. Went a little crazy here. I'm taking the Skins +10.5 over the Bills. I don't think the Bills, with their offense as anemic as it is, should be laying 10.5 to anybody. Skins have played some close games, only lost by 9 to San Francisco, only gave up 9 points to San Francisco, although it was a slogfest a couple weeks ago at FedEx Field. But I think they can keep it close. I think the Bills coming off, they had lost one game until last week and they got thumped. I think oftentimes a team doesn't rebound. They get thumped again. But I think they can still win the game and the Skins to cover. So I'll take the Skins +10.5. And I like Detroit. Detroit's playing better football, coming off a big win over the Giants. They're +2.5 in Oakland. I don't think Oakland at 3-4 should be a favorite over, you know, hardly anybody, but Detroit's getting +2.5. I like the way they're playing right now. The Raiders, if you look at their wins, not very formidable teams that they've beaten. So that's it. I like the Eagles -4.5, the Pats -3, the Skins +10.5, Detroit +2.5. I went 4-1 last week. If you took my picks, you had a good week. We are 16-10 on the year. But again, 4 entertainment purposes only. I just want to talk about the drafting and what Howie has to do in the next couple of years, and I am totally on board with him not making any moves. It's not a Super Bowl team. I think he realizes that, and they're not in a position to give up a lot of picks for rentals like last year when they got Golden Tate for a third-round pick, lost a third-round pick, lost Golden Tate at the end of the year. If you look, since 2013 when they took Lane Johnson and Zach Ertz 1-2, in my opinion, they have 1.5 impact guys that they've drafted. Carson Wentz is one of them. Dallas Goedert, technically, is not a starter. I'll give him half. 1.5 impact guys. On offense, they have 7 starters that they've drafted, period. Not just back to 13. Like, overall, 7 starters, 4 impact guys on offense. Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz. Miles Sanders isn't even a starter. I won't give him an impact status yet. On defense, they have 5 starters, 2 impact guys. And Brandon Graham, to me, is a fringe impact guy. They got Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. That's not good, because if you look at what the Cowboys have done on offense, 6 impact guys. 6. Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin. They built their offensive line in 3 years with 3 first-round picks. And Lyle Collins would have been a first-round pick had it not been for that murder investigation with his ex-girlfriend down in Louisiana. So he didn't even get drafted. They signed him immediately. He was a free agent signing. Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Jason Witten from 03. 6 impact guys, 9 starters. 9 starters. On defense, 5 impact guys. DeMarcus Lawrence, Malik Collins, Sean Lee, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, who might not be playing against the Giants on Sunday, by the way. He's hurt. 5 impact guys, 8 starters. 17 of their 22 players have been draft picks. 17 of their 22 players have been draft picks. Only 12 of 22 starters from the Eagles have been their own homegrown draft picks. Doesn't bode well, because these Cowboys are young and they draft very well. I know Jerry Jones is technically the general manager. They draft very well. Eagles do not. Again, since 2013, Carson Wentz to me and Dallas Goedert, I'll give him a half. The only 2 impact guys. I'm talking impact guys in all those years. In all those years, you want to go up and down the list, you know, tell me where there's impact guys. Marcus Smith, Jordan Matthews, Josh Huff, Jalen Watkins, Wendell Smallwood, Blake Countess. Oh, my goodness. Avante Maddox, not an impact guy. Josh Sweat, Matt Pryor, Jordan Mailata. Andre Dillard, not an impact guy yet. Remains to be seen if he will be one. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Sharif Miller, Clayton Thorson was a ridiculous throwaway pick. So time will tell, but it's going to be an interesting draft for Howie Roseman as he goes forward. I do not have a problem with him not making a move because, again, I don't think it's a Super Bowl season. Some people are on the other side of my thought process thinking, well, you have to do something. Because if you don't do anything, they have no chance. Well, I don't think they have a chance anyway, and one guy's not going to fix that. So giving up draft picks, even though you don't draft well at this point, I think you have to kind of hope or count on yourself drafting well or drafting better in the future, because they're an old team right now, and they're going to have to turn the page soon. It's going to be a rebuilding process for the Eagles very soon. Hey, I got to run. D-Line him, Rob Motti coming up next. Had a great time with all y'all today. I appreciate you chiming in and follow me on Twitter at JoeStasek975. I know Scotty from Barrington's been on the line. I had to get a few things in, Scotty. Hang in there for the next show, pal. You know I love you, brother. Josh Rabick, thank you very much. Great talking to you, pal. You did a great job today, as usual. I'm on again tomorrow with Rob Motti for the post-post game show, Eagles and Bears, tomorrow, 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Hey, Pat Egan. Pat Egan's in the house. Oh, he's giving me the break. Giving me the break call. Is that what that means? All right, I got a break. I got to run. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Late.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.